Okay, we're ready for our main message. We are in a series of sermons. This will be the last one. We talked first of all about God and your money. And last week we talked about managing your personal finances from the Bible and what God has to say about that. And he has a lot to say about it. And we talked about how we're entering into very difficult times as far as the economy in our country. The economy worldwide and in our country, and a lot of people are struggling. And we talked last time about how God teaches us in the Bible that we should all have a budget that we work on. A budget is a matter of telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And you can get a copy of the sermon from last week if you were not here. We talked about exactly how to do that, how we need to count the cost as we handle our money before making unwise purchases and getting ourselves into debt. Secondly, the second point was that we should be getting out of debt. The Bible says that the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. And when we get ourselves into debt, we are losing our freedom to use what God has blessed us with in the way that we want. So we become enslaved to debtors when we get ourselves in debt. And the Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So we've come to the third point that we want to discuss in handling our money today. In other words, we want to have the freedom to use God's blessings in the way we see fit, not in the way we are coerced to do. The third point that I want to talk about is how we need to focus on good relationships in our life. I want to talk about people, places, and things. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 that says, evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. That means you are affected either positively or negatively by the people you hang around with, the people who are you consider to be your friends. You become who you hang around with. So the Bible teaches us to strive to hang around with the right people, okay? The people that teach us good habits, not the people who teach us bad habits. You know, we as parents are concerned who our kids hang out with, but are we concerned with who we hang out with? Now, this is a good group here. You know, God's people, the people who have God's Holy Spirit, iron sharpens iron in a positive way. I enjoy coming here because I like hanging out with all of you. You're good people to hang out with. You don't teach me any bad habits or, you know, get me involved in crime or anything like that. You're good people. So as you're trying to get your finances in order, don't hang around with people who are anxious to see you spend your money in the wrong ways. You know, there are people who, you know, whenever you get together with them, they want you to go out shopping with them. Spend your money, buy a lot of stuff. They want you to go to restaurants all the time. Spend the money maybe that you don't have and that you're going to have to go in debt to pay. Or how about people who want you to go to casinos? Casinos are not a sin, but you can get yourself into a lot of trouble by overspending in casinos. I told you the story. This happened a few years ago. This is an acquaintance of my wife. One of her friends that she knows, her husband and two other guys decided that they were going to spend a weekend in Las Vegas. Three guys going to Las Vegas together to gamble. Bad idea. And of course, there was a lot of alcohol flowing. You know, when you gamble in Las Vegas and you're spending a lot of money, they give you free drinks because they want you to gamble more and kind of lose control of your thinking. And this one individual, when all things were said and done, had put close to $40,000 on his credit card and lost gambling. And I was kidding my wife, saying I was watching the news to see if there were any murders, you know, when he got back home and informed his wife how much he had lost going out with the boys to Las Vegas. Probably the last time he's going to do that in his life, I would think, I would hope. And speaking of gambling, a lot of people waste money on gambling. Did you know that most lottery tickets are sold in poor neighborhoods? Did you know that? And it's like the gambling is directed toward people who especially cannot afford it. Whether it's the scratch-off stuff or whether it's, you know, lottery numbers and things like that. A statistic I saw is people who make less than $10,000 a year spend an average of $597 on lottery tickets. In other words, 6% of their income they spend on lottery tickets. And some of the lotteries, of course, your chances of winning, your chances are better of being struck by lightning than they are of winning the lottery. That's how much it is all built against you. So again, that becomes a habit with some people, and unfortunately, it's not a good way of handling your money. One in five Americans think the lottery is the only way to accumulate significant savings, and that's just not true. The lottery preys on the most vulnerable people, and the odds of winning are very much against you. Let's not forget what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. And this scripture came to mind when I think about people who are just sure that they're going to hit it in the lottery. They're going to go gambling. They're going to make a lot of money. It says here, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men and women into ruin and destruction. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So it's not a good idea to hang out with the wrong people, the people who are going to get you into trouble. As the scripture said, evil company corrupts good habits. And you know what? If you have spending problems, bad spending habits, you need to stay away from certain places. Like I said, casinos, racetracks. I don't know if anybody goes to racetracks anymore. Or people where you know you're just going to be tempted, places where you're going to be tempted to just spend uncontrollably or to spend more than you should. So it's people, places, and things too. Things. You know, you can waste a lot of money if you have a particular type of habit. Yeah, you know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad smoked a lot. I think for about the first 14 years of my life, he was a regular smoker. And you go into stores now and see people buy packs of cigarettes at $10 a pack. What an expensive habit to be in these days. So it's not just people that you hang around with, it's places that you go and things too, where people get themselves into trouble, mishandling their finances, getting themselves into debt, promoting bad habits of one sort or another. So that's point number three. Try to focus on good relationships in your life. Point number four, the advice from the Bible concerning handling our finances, we are to save money and also to invest our money. Today, one half of Americans don't have the money to pay for a $1,000 emergency. You know, if their car breaks down, they can't muster together $1,000 to get it replaced or to get it fixed. If their appliance, their refrigerator, their stove breaks down, people do not have the money on hand or in savings. They're going to have to go into debt. They're going to have to put it on a credit card. Or how about doctor bills that come out of the blue? We all run into expenses like this. The Bible teaches us that we should have savings set aside to handle emergencies like this so that we don't have to go further into debt to pay for them. But statistics today say 20% of Americans have no retirement savings either. As we all get older and closer to retirement, we need to plan on how we're going to provide for ourselves in our retired years. There's a scripture in Proverbs 21, verse 20. Proverbs 21, verse 20 that says, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has." So we talked last week about the statement that's used often today, people living paycheck to paycheck. They get paid, and all of the money in that paycheck is spent, either on necessities or things they don't really need, but now they're just waiting for the next paycheck to come, so they'll have some money on hand. The Bible teaches us that we should be in the habit of setting aside a certain amount of our income to save. You know, how many times have we heard the statement to save it for a rainy day? And that means when emergencies happen and we run into trouble and we need some extra cash to take care of certain situations. So this scripture doesn't say the house of the rich has these things. It says the house of the wise has these things on hand. Extra food available, extra savings available to take care of emergencies. We're not to devour foolishly all that we have, to spend all that we earn. We need to set some aside. Of course, we have to give God his portion too. So managing your finances means saving for a rainy day, for emergency situations, and saving to be able to retire with dignity someday. So a lot of people have 401ks or maybe pensions from the place that they work, and they have a certain amount of confidence knowing that when retirement time comes, they're going to be able to survive, they're going to be able to get by. You know, there was an important lesson about saving back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41. I think we remember the story how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, of all things, in Egypt. And Joseph was a fine young man, and he showed himself to be responsible. And the opportunity came up. The Pharaoh of Egypt had a dream that he was concerned with, and he was looking for somebody to interpret his dream. And Joseph was there on hand, inspired by God to answer or to explain what the dream was all about. It says in Genesis 41, verse 28, this is how Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. "It is just as I said to Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe." The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So God helped Joseph interpret Pharaoh's dream about saving during the good times, so that you will have the wherewithal to survive during the bad times. This is the same principle we're to live by in our personal lives. Savings. It's important to God. It saved the entire land of Egypt. And it was because of this that Joseph's brothers, who had sold him into slavery, were eventually reunited with him because they came looking for food. They came to the land of Egypt because there was a great famine in the land. And there's a beautiful story later on how they were reunited with Joseph and forgiven by Joseph for the things that they had done. And Israel was reunited and restored. So we are to save and invest our money. And finally, point number five. So let's review. We talked about, first of all, having a budget, sticking to it, and that included giving God his portion. We need to get ourselves out of debt, and for some people it's a very difficult and long drawn out process, but it's a principle from the Bible. Thirdly, we should make sure that we're hanging out with the right people, the right places, doing the right things so that it's not sapping our income and destroying our personal wealth. We're also to take a portion and save it for a rainy day because those days will come. Cars break down, appliances break down. We have to go to the doctor from time to time or the hospital. And finally, point number five, the fifth principle is that God loves a cheerful giver. And it talks about just being a generous person and that there's a blessing that comes our way by doing this. Certainly we give God his portion, but we should also be generous when it comes to other people. And this really ties in with Irene's comments today, because this is what we are trying to learn with this new ministry of taking what we have and sharing a little bit of it with others. Whether it's other people in the church or maybe even extending outside of the church. Charity starts at home here in the church, okay? But it can also extend outwards. Just as God promises us a reward for supporting his church in the Great Commission, he also promises a reward for those who are generous toward the needy all around us, outside of the church. This is what it says in Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will reward him for what he has done. So consider that when we do good, when we're generous toward other people, people who are needy, people who are less fortunate, if you have that in your heart and you're inspired to do that, it's like lending to God. And God takes note of what you're doing. He's aware of what you're doing, and it pleases him. And he promises that when you do that, you will be rewarded for what you've done. So that's the kind of God we worship. He's a very generous God. He withheld nothing from us. He gave us his only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. There's nothing that God would withhold from us, and he wants us to be the same way, to look around for opportunities to help others. And this is what we're doing in our ministry. You know, we're gathering items that maybe the less fortunate in our congregation can take and use at home. And maybe their budget is stretched, or maybe they're out of work temporarily, or maybe they're just needy. They don't make enough to get by. So we're gathering items, and we're praying for one another. We're fulfilling the spiritual needs, and we're fulfilling the physical needs of others when we do this and when we participate. So I encourage you to take this service that we're performing to heart, and to really give it your all. And when you pray for somebody else in the congregation, pray with all your heart. It's not just a formality, but we're really concerned. We really love one another. Generous people get a thrill from helping others. I don't know, I'm sure you have all had the opportunity to help somebody in need. Doesn't it just make you feel good? It makes God feel good when he blesses us. And we feel good when we're generous toward other people. You know what? Generous people smile a lot. They are not grouchy. Generosity changes everything in your life. So we are encouraged to be generous toward others. And when we do that, we're being like God. We're being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ himself. I want to turn to Luke 6 and verse 38, something that Jesus said about generosity. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So you'll be rewarded for your generosity. We should have a heart of generosity, but God encourages us by saying, you know what, when you're generous toward people in need, I notice it, and it pleases me, and I'm going to bless you for it, and it's going to be such a blessing that if it's put in a basket, it's overflowing. That's how God blesses us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So again, an encouragement from God to us to be generous toward others. This is a promise from a generous God, and we're becoming more and more like him. So look for opportunities to be generous to others. You know, I spoke to one church member some years ago now, and they told me that they make a habit of carrying some extra money with them all the time. I don't know if it was $50 or something like that. And they were able to set it aside, and they prayed to God and said, God, this money I'm going to carry with me. You give me an opportunity to be generous to somebody in need, and this will be my way of helping them. And they just made a habit of doing that all the time. And whenever the slightest opportunity came up, when they found out about somebody who was laid off of work, or you know, somebody who didn't have enough money for groceries, or they just figured that they're kind of down on their luck, so to speak, they would just approach this person and say, here, this is for you. God bless you. And what a blessing it was for the person to receive some extra cash to help with bills. So that's an attitude of generosity. Anticipate the opportunity to give to others. After all, I'm sure you have everything you need. And there's always an amount to share. In Acts 20, verse 35, in everything I did, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving to others, being generous toward others, helping others, makes you feel good. And it's more blessed in God's sight to give than it is to receive. But you know what? It's hard to be generous when you don't plan your spending. When you don't have a budget and there's no money left at the end of the week. It's hard to be generous when you're in debt because you've spent yourself into deep debt. It's hard to be generous when you waste money unnecessarily. And it's hard to be generous when you don't save and have some money to share, or some items to share, some food to share, clothing to share, whatever the case may be. So God has a lot to say in the Bible about how we handle our money. And you know what? It's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. So I hope you take these 5 points to heart. You know, first of all, we talked about God, giving God his share. Then we talked about having a budget and sticking to it. We talked about getting out of debt. We talked about focusing on hanging around with the right people who are not going to cause us to spend foolishly. We talked about saving money and investing money, especially for retirement. And finally, we talked about just being a cheerful giver. And you think, you know, my problems are so overwhelming. I don't know how I can ever do something like that. I'm so in debt, you know, I've got debt, I've got credit card debt, I've got student loan debt, I've got this debt, I've got car debt, I've got all of these things. I'm just reminded of the words in the Bible where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's no mountain too high, there's no valley too low. If we set our minds by God's help and by God's grace, it can be done. We can change our whole lifestyle, our whole way of living, our whole standard of living. And God is there to respond when he sees us trying to do what he tells us to do. So God wants our life to be a blessing, not a burden. He wants us to get out of financial slavery. He wants us to be able to have the freedom to use our money to bless other people, to enjoy our lives, yes, but to bless others and to certainly give our portion to God. So hopefully you found this helpful, and we live in tough times financially. A lot of people are struggling, and the economy doesn't seem to be getting a lot better anytime soon. So I think it's important that we strive to live by some of these principles God teaches us in the Bible, and we will be blessed for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wisdom that your Bible includes and teaches. And you want our lives to be good. And sometimes we get ourselves into trouble, especially financially. So Father, by using a lot of these principles that you teach, we can do better. And it's going to take effort. We can't do it by ourselves. We're going to need your personal involvement. So help us to stay close to you, to continue to ask you to help us in every way to righten the wrongs in our financial lives. So, Father, we want to be blessings to other people. We want to be generous toward others. Already you're giving us ways to do that in this new ministry we have now. So help us along. We want to be more like you. Thank you, Father. We pray this now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We'll have a final song and then the benediction.